Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. You can be joining us on Zoom. Some of you I can see, hopefully all of you can hear me, and we're gonna give you an opportunity later to ask questions. So the first thing I'm gonna do is actually turn this over to the folks from Leading Age, who I have said are the wizards behind the curtain and incredibly helpful. We truly appreciate their help in making sure that this technology works. So Lynn is gonna tell you how to do that. Lynn, do you wanna let folks know what to do?
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lynn Monahan. I'm the Education and Events Manager for Leading Age Massachusetts. I just wanted to talk through a couple of items, Zoom functions that we'll be using during the call today. So the default for everyone coming into the meeting is for you to be muted. So if at any point during the call we have an opportunity for questions or comments, you will need to unmute yourself. So for those of you who are on a computer, you can do that by clicking the microphone icon, which will unmute yourself. If you are on the phone, you press star six. Again, computer is the microphone icon. On the phone is star six. We do ask that once you have asked your question, if you would remute yourself by the same method, just so that we reduce the background noise. Some other functions that we'll use today is the chat box. Sorry about that. So those of you who are on a computer, there should be a chat icon at the bottom of the screen, which would bring up a sidebar. You can use that to put questions or comments throughout the call. There will be folks monitoring that. For those of you who are on the phone and not able to use the chat function, you send me an email during the call with any questions or comments. My email address is lmonaghan@leadingagema.org. I just put that in the chat box as well for anyone who's on the computer. Again, that email address is lmonaghan@leadingagema.org. I think that's it.
Great, thanks, Lynn. So today's effort is part of a larger effort at the state level, a collaboration among multiple state agencies and the Executive Office of Elder Affairs. So I wanted to give a chance for these state agencies to say hello and greet you today. I'm going to turn it over first to Amy Stitely from the Department of Housing and Community Development.
Hello, I'm Amy, Chief of Programs at Department of Housing and Community Development. Thank you for joining us and thank you for everything you're doing out there in the field, whether you're a houser or a service provider or an advocate. We all have roles to play here. So thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Amy. We're also working with Mass Housing, and David Ng from Mass Housing is on the phone.
Thanks, Emily. Just echoing everything that Amy just said, and also please don't hesitate to reach out if you need any assistance with all the things that you're dealing with, and we will do the best that we can to provide whatever support we can. Thanks.
Great. And we're also collaborating with CDAC and Sarah Barkin from CDAC, and maybe Sarah, you can tell folks who may or may not know what CDAC stands for as well.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Sarah Barkin. I'm the Director of Housing Development at CDAC. We are the Community Economic Development Assistance Corporation, and we are one of the state's quasi-publics set up to provide financing and technical assistance to nonprofit housing developers statewide. We also do a lot of work in collaboration with our state partners at DHCD and other agencies in the supportive housing world, including making loans to lots and lots of senior housing developments. And so again, I really want to express my gratitude to all of you who are out there doing all of this day-to-day work in housing and services and working very hard under, I know, extraordinarily difficult circumstances.
Thanks, Sarah. So all four of our agencies recognize that you guys are on the front lines in helping our state older adults stay healthy through this in general, but also in these unusual times. We also recognize that you're a sort of a hodgepodge of different agencies, and we really had no way of getting you information in a sort of widespread mechanism and also hearing from you. So what we did was come together and set up a listserv. Hopefully you guys are all on it, and that's how you found out about this call. We're going to send you out various information as it becomes available, whether it relates to face coverings or it relates to guidance from the Department of Housing and Community Development around visitors in housing. We're also going to, or we have, I should say, set up a dedicated email address, and maybe somebody can put that in the chat room. It's seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. I'll say it again, seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. And we monitor that email multiple times a day and work together to respond to questions that you may submit. We also ask that you share with us any experiences you're having. We have tried at the state level to hear from those experiences, incorporate it into new guidance, or try to problem solve in a way that'll help you be able to do things better at the local level. And we also ask if you feel comfortable to share information about any time that you're aware of a positive case of COVID-19 in one of your properties. It's not a requirement. You don't have to give us any confidential information, but we actually have developed a spreadsheet that we share on a nightly basis with the state housing agencies that tracks all the senior affordable housing in the state and the cases that we're aware of. And that helps us to see if there are some sort of clusterings that's going on. And as we think about at the state level, how to deploy resources or be in conversations about deploying resources, that information is really helpful. Lastly, we have these weekly calls. Last week was the first week. We talked, we heard from the State Department of Public Health epidemiologists. That recording is available on Leading Age's website. And Lynn, maybe when you get a chance, you can put that website address in the chat room as well. This call is going to be on food and nutrition, which we heard was a big topic that you all were facing in the COVID-19. But we'd also like to hear from you about future topics you want to hear from or hear about. And we're hoping to hear some great information today and then also have some time for questions and answers. So again, the email address is seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. Okay, so with that, I have some great speakers. We're very lucky to have with us some representatives from Greater Springfield Senior Services and Minuteman Senior Services on today's call. Those two agencies are two of the 25 regional aging service access point agencies, also known as ASAPs, which you may or may not be familiar with. ASAPs are regional elder service agencies. All of them do something in the nutrition field, sometimes a little bit different, but today we're going to hear from two of them. They're going to talk about the services that they provide in nutrition and really highlight what has changed or what they're doing differently in relate to housing and in relation to the COVID-19 pandemic. So I think I see Jill Keough on the phone. I see her face there. You're going to hear from the folks from Greater Springfield first, Jill Keough and Mary Genuine Kaplan. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Jill. Can we hear you?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Excellent. Take it away.
All right. Thank you, Emily. And nice to meet all 118 of you. Hopefully someday we'll meet in person, but obviously that's not possible right now. So to take a step back from what we offer for nutrition, one of the services that we contract with the state is to provide information and referral services. So what does that mean? It means that we have dedicated information specialists who are capturing all the services that are available within the community. In terms of nutrition, that could mean information on food pantries, whether they are still open, whether they are changing how they operate. Some of them right now are doing a grocery grab and go, curbside delivery. So our job is to capture that information. We know it's changing quickly, but I would really encourage all of you, if you have any questions about the services that are available in your community, start by calling information and referral at your local ASAP. If you don't know what ASAP services your town, I would strongly recommend you contact Mass Options, and I can put the number in the chat box, which is 1-844-422-6277. They can direct you to the right ASAP in your area to try to get this information. So at the start of this COVID crisis, we tasked our INR department to maintain an up-to-date status report on many community services such as transportation, adult day health programs, COA statuses, medical practice statuses, food pantry statuses, and also the new programs that began as part of, as a result of the pandemic. Specific to nutrition, what can you expect when you call an ASAP? First and foremost, we're always happy to share about our Meals on Wheels program. And Mary Genuine Kaplan will explain in a bit what that is and how it's been impacted by the pandemic and how we're doing business a little differently now. But you'll also be able to obtain up-to-date information on Council on Aging meal options, some of which may include meal delivery, grab-and-go options, as well as food pantries if they are still operating them. There's also numerous community-based organizations that normally have pantries that are now doing curbside pickup. And so we have our pulse on who is still operating and who is perhaps altering their operations in light of the pandemic. We also keep updated on grocery store hours and when seniors can go in. And some grocery stores, as we know, have pickup and delivery options. And so we're constantly finding out who is still doing what, so we're able to provide this information to the public. There are also other delivery options. For instance, in Springfield, we have a local produce distributor who is delivering boxes of fresh produce to folks within the community for a small fee. There are local farms doing some great work. There's a seafood establishment that is strictly serving senior consumers and doing delivery to them. So there's a lot of different services that are perhaps maybe not as mainstream that our INR department is aware of and obviously able to provide information to not only consumers but professional resources such as yourself. So the other part that I would want to mention is most likely your residents belong to either the state home care program, perhaps participate in a senior care option plan. They're assigned a case manager through the ASAP. And so I would really encourage you to contact the ASAP case manager or have the resident contact the ASAP case manager so they can advocate for more services to be put into the home, like grocery shopping or additional PC and homemaking. The ASAP case manager is really an advocate for the resident to get the most services possible during this really difficult time. So feel free to use them as a resource to troubleshoot issues that you're facing and or the resident is facing so that we can try to keep people as safe as possible. If someone is participating in a senior care option plan, I know one of the larger SCOs is offering what they're calling a snack box. And it's actually not snacks at all, at least not in my world. It's some shelf-stable foods like pasta and tuna fish, but also toilet paper. And so they are being very liberal with authorizing these snack boxes that could be delivered to consumers' homes. So it's important to know, number one, call us if you have any questions. There's a lot of information out there. It's changing constantly. We are still enrolling people in programs, and we're here for the duration to answer people's questions. Having said that, let me turn this over to Mary Genuine Kaplan, who can talk specifically about our Meals on Wheels program.
Good afternoon. It is a little bit intimidating to talk to over 100 of you now, but I'm so glad our friends from Minuteman are here so they can follow up and hit everything that I will have missed. I would like to start by saying I represent one nutrition program, and after I speak, you will know about one nutrition program. Perhaps my best advice is to learn about the programs in your area because each of us are different. And each of us work really diligently to meet the needs in our communities, but I am pretty excited about sharing some of the things that we are doing and some of our observations. You may see it as insight, perhaps I see it as therapy, because we've all had some challenging times these last several weeks. Meals on Wheels is a vehicle to bring food, and in our program, to those who are homebound, frail, those over the age of 60 years old. And we work with some persons with disabilities who are younger and a variety of insurance programs, such as the senior care options. One way that we have been affected with the COVID-19 crisis is that everything is more urgent and different. Our eligibility standards have tightened up. We look more broadly at the supports a resident has. Do you need the meal? Perhaps your grown adult children who used to go out to work every day are now at home. Perhaps they could fill in with a meal. Our resources have been stretched. In our own agency, in the agency I work in, the number of clients we serve in the last month has increased by 12%, and the meals we deliver have increased by 29%. We are working harder and we are scrambling to meet the need. So when a client or a social worker or RSC calls to ask about services, we're going to ask the questions. Is there a neighbor, a friend, an adult daughter who lives in the neighborhood who could help support this individual at this time of need? Because frankly, we're at a point where we really wish we could help just everybody, but we have to operate in a series of triage moves to make sure that we're using our resources most effectively. Other ways that our services have changed is we are focusing on social distancing for the protection of our clients, those we serve the meals to, and also our staff members. The drivers that work in my agency visit between 30 to 50 households a day. That's a lot of human contact. So we have increased our personal protection. They're wearing masks. The meals are in bags. The bags are put on the floor in front of the door. There's a knock on the door. The driver steps back. Phone calls are made before the driver appears to alert the client. I'm coming now, be ready to answer the door. We still strive to get that personal connection and to see the client and to know they're well and they're doing okay. But indeed, we do want to maximize our social distancing. Some housing complexes I know have asked clients to come outside their corridor or to the front door. We have not yet taken those steps in our area. Nothing's off the table. Our case managers who used to visit the clients, sit in their homes and see what they need, are now making their assessments telephonically. You can learn a lot sitting in someone else's house and seeing where they live and hearing them talk about it. When we're talking about over the phone, it's a longer process and the information is certainly perhaps not as accurate. What about those seniors that need groceries delivered because of these new social distancing standards? Once again, as Jill said, that's where you call your ASAP. That's where they can tell you what services are offered in each of the towns in their community. We have 352 communities in our Commonwealth, and I barely can keep track of the 12 we work with. So your individual ASAP will know better. The good news is, and there is good news in this crisis, is that we are making new relationships and establishing new protocols. And I'm so encouraged when we talk to an organization or a partner that's new to us, and they'll say, what about when this is over? Will this continue? I'm a skeptic, so I say, we'll see how it goes through the crisis and then we'll decide. But indeed, I hope they do, because we have many seniors in our community. It's our mission to serve them, and we want to bring the food to them. Jill's going to share some examples of how we're working now with some of our housing partners.
Thanks, Mary. So we are focused on looking at, we'll say, capturing some good practices out there. Currently, we are in talks with at least two housing providers to start up some grab-and-go programs, also some community-based organizations. We're trying to focus our efforts in food deserts, as well as folks who may struggle with transportation issues. We are hoping to have a caterer by the end of this week. We have a wonderful tasting awaiting us after this. So we're really excited to hopefully be able to launch that. I think it's really refreshing to sort of hear the enthusiasm in the with the community partners that we're reaching out to see if, you know, they're willing to sort of join this ride of doing something a little new and different. But I think it's important that we get the right partners also. We are looking for partners who value social distancing and are willing to contribute staff and resources to helping us maintain that. Safety first, we want to get the services out there, but we can't do it alone. And so we need good housing partners to help us achieve that, as well as other community-based organizations. I did ask Mary to talk about what makes a good partner specifically, and so I will turn the camera back to her.
We have known for a long time, our very best friends in housing are the RSCs, and I'm not sure that's the term you all use, but the Resident Services Coordinator. They're the folks who know the residents of the building, they know their needs, they've got their fingers on the pulse. We also, in the past, have worked closely with some resident councils. So we're looking for partners that if you want to help your seniors or those in your building with nutritional needs, that you're willing to come to the plate with us, provide some staff, provide information, and help us operate this program. I mentioned that our resources are stretched thin. The opportunities to help have expanded exponentially. But if someone is willing to contact us and we can work out those differences with social distancing and identifying who really needs these services, it's a win-win for us. And we are so happy to do that. And these days we need some wins. And it gives you a warm feeling when you leave at the end of the day and you know, we made a few steps forward today. I'm done.
Yeah. Any questions? Oh, hold on. I can't hear you.
Actually, there we go. I'm gonna have you guys wait and hold some questions. That was really great. Thank you so much. I did get some texts that you guys should be a little farther apart. Just okay. So you know.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Or at least have a really big bottle of hand sanitizer. I wanted to hear next, actually, from Hillary. Hillary Viola, who is with Minuteman Senior Services. And Hillary, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you're doing there at Minuteman, which is also an aging service access point agency and ASAP. And can you just also tell us a little bit about where you are regionally in the state?
Absolutely. Thanks. So thank you all very much for having us all this morning. I think this
Hold
is
on,
really-
Hillary. You're a little choppy. Can you try, can you unplug or replug your headphones or?
I'm doing it through the computer.
Okay.
Should I dial in? Would that be better?
Lynn, do you think that would be better?
Yes, yep. But you just make sure to mute yourself, Hillary, or I can mute you on your computer and then use the dial-in. Let me know if you need the number.
While Hillary is dialing in, although we could probably actually, it won't take too long. Jill, I'm gonna ask you guys a question. So you mentioned all these services you have around meals. Do people have to pay for them? If you're getting like a home delivered meal or some like if I'm over 60 and I'm eligible, do you pay for this service?
No, we do ask for a voluntary contribution of $2. We're required by regulation to ask for that, but it is confidential and it's not mandatory. So
okay, great, thanks.
And if it's a SCO consumer, the SCO is paying for the meal.
And for folks who are housers on the phone, SCO is the health insurance company. So if you are somebody who, there's some people who health insurance I just saw a text that was meant for me in the chat room, and I will turn it over to Hillary and go silence my teenage trumpet player. I apologize for that. So Hillary, are you on? Oh. I see her smiling.
Hillary, are you on, Hillary? You'll have to press star 6 to unmute your phone.
Press star 6.
Is that better?
Perfect. All right, Hillary, take it away.
Technology is wonderful. So thank you all very much for inviting us to participate this morning in your conversation. I think nutrition is so important. One of the programs I oversee is our information and referral department, and the number of calls that they get for nutrition is just, it's increased exponentially. So Emily, you had asked for me to talk a little bit about who we are and what we're doing a little bit differently now with Meals on Wheels and our nutrition program. So Minuteman Senior Services covers 16 communities. We are located in Bedford. We go as far as Arlington in the east, and then in the west, we cover Maynard, Stowe, Acton, that area as well.
Hillary, could you pick up the phone, do you think?
Actually, Hillary, you know, I think that part of the issue might be that you need to turn off your speakers on your computer so you're not hearing it through the computer.
And for those of you who are interested, I did just get rid of the trumpet player. So that should be all. All right, you know what, Hillary, I'm gonna let you work out the technology with Lynn. And I'm gonna do question and answer back with Jill and Mary from Greater Springfield while you guys do that. So Jill, I have a few more questions for you that have come in.
Okay.
Okay, so people I think were previously participating in congregate lunches, sometimes in the building or maybe at the Council on Aging. And now with all the social distancing, that doesn't seem to be happening. So folks who were relying on that, what's happened? What can they do? You know, if the Council on Aging doesn't seem to be open, what options are there for folks who are relying on these lunches? Oh, can't hear you, Jill. There we go.
Can you hear me?
Right now. Yes.
All right. For those folks who are the frailest of the frail, they've been converted to home-delivered meal clients. We recognize that there's some folks, especially the ones who are going to congregate, they're still mobile and perhaps a little bit more lively than those on the home-delivered meal routes. So we're thinking this grab-and-go option might be a good option for them. So that's one of the reasons why we are trying to launch this.
And grab and go, meaning you put a lunch out and they just show up in the lobby or something and it's a prepackaged lunch?
Well, I would say it doesn't have to be the lobby necessarily. I think we want to be really thoughtful around the available space. Is there a community room that's large enough that could accommodate the 6-foot spacing? And is the staff available to sort of monitor the 6-foot spacing? We've also talked about doing it outside. There's an ability to set up tents. That might be the better alternative in some cases. So we're willing to be flexible, but as long as we're able to maintain the social distancing.
Great, okay. So I think Hillary's all set. Jill, you and I should mute.
Hi, can you hear me now? Okay, so sorry about that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what Minuteman's doing in terms of our Meals on Wheels program and congregate program. As I said before, Minuteman covers 16 communities. We are an ASAP and a AAA, an Area Agency on Aging, as well as an Aging Services Access Point. And Jill and Mary did a great job of talking about what their agency does. And we're very similar. There's across the state, every town and city has an agency just like ours that serves them. We all work in a coordinated effort to try and provide services, but we may be a little bit different in some ways. Here at Minuteman, we are still providing 5 days a week of Meals on Wheels to folks. Congregate meals have stopped, but what we are doing is a grab-and-go program. So for anybody who was getting or attending a congregate meal site, we are providing grab-and-go meals for them. And also for what we did do is we contacted all the folks who were attending a congregate meal. And if they do need a Meals on Wheels, we will provide that to them as well. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about some of the questions that came in. One of the questions is, we had many residents that were participating in congregate lunches. I think that was just answered about whether or not the congregate lunches are open. So for some communities, there still are what we call a grab and go for congregate lunches. And you just need to call your Council on Aging to kind of coordinate whether or not you want to go and pick that up. One of the other questions was, are there people or programs that would do grocery shopping for our residents who are too scared to go on their own? That's a question that we're getting a lot of the time. And what in our communities, what we're finding is that a lot of our councils on aging have been able to step in and help provide services that they didn't provide before. For instance, Woburn has prepackaged grocery bags that they have that for folks who call them, they can bring them and deliver them. I know a lot of the food pantries are doing similar kinds of programs where they have prepackaged meals, bags of groceries that they can provide to folks. One of the questions I think had been too, whether or not food pantries would deliver to folks. And that's really on a case-by-case basis. A lot of the food pantries are able to deliver, but it's really on a case-by-case basis. Executive Office of Elder Affairs had recently, I think yesterday, put together a great resource list of all the food resources for every community. So I sent that to Emily yesterday, and I know she's going to plan to send that out after today's call. But it just gives you a sense of, in your community, who to call for not just for meals, but for food resources, because as we've said before, Meals on Wheels is available to many people, but for some people that may not be enough or they may not be what they're looking for. So they may need another alternative. So for many communities, they are providing food delivery through the food pantry. Another resource we came across was a lot of school communities are providing lunches and breakfasts for students in their communities. And what we found in talking to our councils on aging is that many of them will provide a lunch or breakfast as well to seniors. So the best thing to do in situations like if you have somebody who may need that is to really connect with the school department in your community or the Council on Aging. That's been a great resource for us. We talked a little bit about food pantries. Most of them are different in every community, but a lot of them will deliver. A lot of them will deliver prepackaged groceries. And then community suppers, a lot of them in each community are still doing the grab and go kinds of programs. And I'm speaking primarily for the ones in our 16 communities, the ones that we're aware of that have been doing community suppers, community meals. They are still doing that, but they're just doing it in a different way. As most of us know, we're doing a lot of our services and programs right now in a different way, but still trying to meet the needs of the community. And as we've all heard, I think nutrition and food resources has been one of the toughest areas to really tackle to make sure that people are getting what they need. We have people who get our Meals on Wheels, but those are the people we know. There's a lot of people out there who still need meals because they're not able to get to the grocery store or they're compromised and can't get out. Because they're afraid of what is out there. So we're trying to work with our communities, especially our councils on aging and especially our housing providers, to really make sure we're identifying those people and that we're getting them into our systems so that we can help provide services to them as well.
Great. Thanks, Hillary. And I'm glad we worked out all the technology. I was wondering, I'll I'll take Hillary or Jill and Mary, whoever makes sense. But a lot of the Department of Housing and Community Development, for example, put out guidance saying essential workers should be the only folks let in senior housing properties. And I've heard a fair amount about meal drivers being asked to deliver at the door. Is there any advice that you would give to the housers as to, you know, between the door and the resident's room, is there something that they should be chipping in some way? Is there something that you guys do when you drop off a meal that you check for? You know, I know some people are either maybe too scared or too frail to walk down to the front door to get their food. Have you experienced that?
So that's, I'll answer for us. So that's actually a huge concern that we've had is for the people who can't get to the door. So the practices that Mary and Jill talked about in terms of social distancing, in terms of PPE, all of our drivers are wearing face coverings. They're washing down the bags. They're doing all of the appropriate things. But what we are asking them to do is, if possible, to leave it on a table outside of a person's door or on their doorknob, but make contact with the consumer. So they're calling the consumer to have a conversation to say, I'm at your door, can you get to the door to get this if I leave it here? So at housing sites, we can leave it at the door, but we need to have somebody, if somebody doesn't have the ability to get down to get that meal, that's our biggest concern, is if the housing entities could help work with us in determining those people who are frail, who can't get down to get that meal, if they could work with us in determining who might be a person who could help do that. That's
so
ideal.
I hear what you're saying is it sounds like there's some responsibility on the housing entity. If you're going to say, hey, meal drivers, leave things outside the front door of this apartment building, that the housing agency themselves, their staff may need to make that rest of the journey for that meal to the resident's apartment.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be helpful.
A question came in to ask if any of these agencies are assisting with hand sanitizer or wipes or toilet tissue or soap, or is it just limited to food?
So I'll talk just a little bit about the entities that I've referenced, the Councils on Aging food pantries. It really is dependent on what they have. Some of them have gotten an influx of toilet paper. Some of them haven't. So it really depends on what they have at hand to be able to provide to people.
I see somebody typed in that they work in a large elderly building and they actually let the Meals on Wheels delivery people in because it's more efficient for that person to walk around instead of all the residents coming down to the lobby and clogging the elevators and not social distancing. So I think you're gonna have to figure out what works for the building, but know that you should do that in concert with the people delivering the food and the meals. I did have another question come in. I actually got a housing agency who sent an email that said, we're really concerned that the Meals on Wheels drivers have tested positive because they stopped showing up. And this is more of a story, but hoping you guys can speak to it. When I researched it, it actually wasn't that they had stopped showing up. They had stopped showing up as often. And why, do you guys, can you explain why the deliverers might not come as often?
Sure. Obviously, we want to protect the drivers as well, and we want to be able to continue to serve. And so we've had to make adjustments to meal routes. So we might be doing, instead of doing daily drops, it might be three times a week. So we're just sort of trying to preserve the system and the service that we're offering so that we can continue to serve.
And so what kind of, so do you drop off different kind of food if they don't come as often?
Yeah.
We've been doing our hot meal, say, for example, if it was a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and meals were required for 5 days, on Monday you'd get a hot meal and a frozen meal or a cold supper so that you still get your five meals, but there's only contact 3 days a week to protect both the driver and the resident. We've also heard from just a few drivers that the idea of our drivers having face protection is one that's accepted, but many times our clients don't realize they also perhaps should have face protection and stand back. So I'm hoping folks will realize this is so new for all of us, even though we've been in it now for a month, that if you could share with the residents that it's important for their own health to have face covering and to maintain social distancing. It's not just about the drivers being protected, but also for the clients and residents.
Thanks, Mary. I want to stop there because I think I actually like your choice of words too. You said face coverings and you didn't say masks. And I think there's a lot of semantics in that area right now. You know, it's there's a lot of information about how to make a homemade or a more informal face covering that might be acceptable. We're not talking about a surgical mask for everybody in the building, but something for when they leave their apartment that they have their face covered. And we have put information out to the listserv about, you know, how people can do homemade ones if they want to.
And even if you're staying in your apartment, but you know you're going to be seeing someone like a meal driver, it would be important to use a face covering.
Correct, yeah. Go ahead.
I would just add that one of the obstacles we faced and I would say overcame was sometimes residents might be in the lobby and they start sharing that someone is COVID positive and they may try to stop us at the door. But we're really fortunate to have some great housing partners that we communicate that with and help us continue to serve. So
that's helpful. Thank you. So I want to open it up. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Hillary.
Sorry. Can I just add one other thing too, is that for a lot of our agencies, we have been provided with 7-day frozen packs of meals as well as other frozen meals. So what we've done as well is tried to get those out to those most critical who might be in need, just as an emergency backup. So I was at Drake Village last week delivering those 7-pack meals to folks who we've identified as living alone and most in need, just so that in case there was a breakdown of some kind in our delivery service that we have, we know that folks have an emergency kind of backup for food too.
So I want to make sure that we have a chance to hear from folks on the phone. So if you want to type any questions into the chat, or email Lynn. Lynn, do you want to give your email again if for folks who are on the phone?
Sure. It's lmonaghan@leadingagema.org.
And Lynn, have you received any questions yet?
I have not.
I see one in the chat room, Emily, got skipped. It's great that agencies are switching from congregate meals to grab and go. In addition to addressing critical nutrition needs, could either Hillary or Jill speak to the issue of isolations as congregate meals used to fill a significant void and how people are thinking about that issue?
So one of the things that we've done at Greater Springfield is we have, now that we're all working remote, we have our case managers touching base with our consumers to sort of understand whether services are continuing to go in and if we can sort of troubleshoot and mitigate any issues that they're experiencing. But they're also flagging for us if they are socially isolated. And we do have a cadre of volunteer staff who are calling them and sort of chatting it up, just to try to fill that void. So we're doing that with our own staff, but the case managers are flagging that for us.
So folks, I think, are putting in the text. Can we, Jill, can you also provide the Mass Options phone number again? Or I can do it. It's 844.
I did type in. I don't know by heart.
No, I can do it. Okay. So if you want to find the ASAP in your area, dial 844-422-6277. That is the Mass Options phone number. What I will also say is if you are on our listserv, we will be sending out a list of the ASAP contacts by town right after this call or shortly after this call. And to join the listserv, if you're not on it already, you go to seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. I think we have a new question come up. Oh, no. Mass question for Mass Housing. Mass Housing has done a great webinar about social isolation in this time. Is that something you would be willing to put on your website or could put on your website at some point?
So we partnered with JFCNS to do that webinar, and I think their plan, it will be posted on their website and we will link to it from ours. So I think I think they were doing three versions of it in total, and they were going to post the best recorded one. So once that's available, we'll send it out through the listserv as well.
That's great. I heard it was a great webinar and I heard it was pretty oversubscribed really quickly. So thanks, Dave. Other questions for Jill or Hillary or Mary or really anybody who's on the call today? I see a question. Does anybody have a listing of food pantries in the Dorchester area or where I can find a listing? So I think that would actually, we'd refer you to Ethos, which is the aging service access point, the ASAP in your area. So we can, again, if you call that Mass Options number, they can send you to Ethos, or after this call, we'll send out an Excel spreadsheet with the Ethos contact person there.
Emily, if I can just add to the list that EOEA have put together does have food pantries that are in the Boston area as well. So it's all listed on that sheet that was sent out.
Great. So yeah. Hillary and Jill, somebody wants to know if you have any experience dealing with elderly immigrant population.
Absolutely. We have lots of folks who are non-English speaking or who are immigrants. They don't need to be a U.S. citizen to receive services from us. We have many of our materials are translated. We will have a translator service work with this person to make sure that we understand exactly what their needs are. Those are all things that every ASAP does. And I would just encourage people, if they have questions, to call the information referral line, as Jill had said earlier, because what we do is we have staff who are looking at all the resources and trying to put them together for people. So we try and keep it as updated as possible. It's impossible to kind of keep it on a website, so that's why we try and encourage people to call us, because it is ever changing. But for anybody, whether they're English speaking, non-English speaking, a citizen, a non-citizen, we are here for their support and to provide services to them. One thing I would also add too is
I was just going to clarify, because you don't have to have a social security number is what you're saying, or be on Mass or anything.
We don't look at status. The only, Mass Health, those kinds of entities would, but for our services, we don't look at whether a person is a citizen, if they have a social security number, any of that. We just look at where they're living right now. So wherever that physical place that they're living right now is, what their address is where we'll provide services to them. I would also just add though too, that in the research that we've done, we found a wonderful wealth of resources on the internet in terms of if you have a specific community or town that you're in and you're looking for resources, a lot of times the local website has COVID-19 resources that are listed there for food and for food pantries. So if you're in Abington, for instance, or any community, call us, but also you can go online and look at the website. I know for the 16 communities that we serve, there's a wealth of information on each community's website as to local resources.
Jill, Mary, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think Hillary covered it.
Great. So we're hearing there's a voluntary payment, voluntary contribution. You don't need to be a citizen. You don't need to be on MassHealth. The bottom line is call your local ASAP information and referral line. If you don't know who that is, I saw somebody asked about the Cape, so that's Elder Services in Cape Cod and the Island. If you don't know who that is, call Mass Options, and they will direct you in the right place. So are there any, is there information, one last question and then we'll get going. Is there information that's gone out in different languages about food resources as well? There seems to be some people are concerned that people who English isn't their first language may not know what's going on around food in their area.
So I will speak to our area. In terms of when we deliver meals, we are delivering notices to people about Meals on Wheels and congregate options in different languages. But in terms of resources in the community, if somebody contacts us, we can have it translated for them. I don't know that we specifically have any right now that are already translated. And I say that because it's ever-changing. It's very fluid as to hours of food pantries, for instance. But what I would suggest is they call us and we can certainly have something translated.
And Jill, what about, do you have cultural, different meals that are either different diets or cultural preferences?
We do. We have medically tailored meals that's actually growing exponentially as we speak for cardiac and renal diets. Unfortunately, we did suspend our Latino meal offering just to be able to streamline things for the kitchen, but we will be back to doing that as soon as life is a little bit more normal. And we did operate a kosher program, but unfortunately, we've had to discontinue that in order to streamline things.
So I'm conscious of the time. I'm also looking at the chat room. Some people are sharing some great experiences. Elder Services of Merrimack Valley provides nutritional assistance. The National Guard delivering food to Chelsea. One person spoke about how they worked, their management, housing management and maintenance staff worked with the Meals on Wheels deliverers and actually signed a business agreement to make sure that, you know, the housing staff was delivering the meals and how, you know, the guidelines for delivery. So there are some great partnerships going on. We will, if we didn't get you to your question, and Lynn, I don't know if you had some that were emailed in.
Just no, checking. I have not.
Okay. If we didn't get to your questions, we will look at the chat and make sure we respond. I want to just leave you with some parting thoughts. First, I want to thank Hillary and Jill and Mary for providing this really useful and critical information at this point. I think the bottom line is go to your local ASAP and call, you know, talk to their information and referral people, and they are knowledgeable about what's going on in their community. If for some reason, you know, after you leave here, you're like, what's an ASAP? Call your local council on aging and they will know as well, and they work together. If you aren't sure, you leave here and you say, gosh, they gave a phone number, I don't know what it is, seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. That's where you can email us, you can get on the listserv that way, you can get, we're gonna send information out that way. That is the way that we'll get in touch with you and be able to answer your questions. So I wanna thank everybody, I wanna thank Leading Age again for the technology support. I want to remind you guys, we're gonna do this weekly, but it's really based on what topics you think are useful. So if you wanna email us and tell us, you know, I'm having all issues with this or would like to know more about that, please send ideas in. And please let us know how the epidemic is changed the way you do business, how it's affecting you. Share stories with us so we can, or share issues with us. Let us know if you're seeing positive cases so that we can, at the state level, have a little bit more awareness and try and be helpful to advance the efforts at the local level. So with that, I think I am exactly, I think I actually have 4 minutes. So I'm going to ask somebody, there were a few more questions since I have those 4 minutes. Somebody asked about shopping services. So I assume food shopping services. So if somebody didn't, you know, all these people who don't want to go to the market, besides delivering meals, are there other agencies, yourself or other agencies in the community, that are delivering actual groceries?
It could be done with their PC homemaker if they are receiving services in the home. It could be done that way. And if there are services, not to be repetitive, but calling information and referral, they would know the latest and greatest.
Okay, Hillary, anything to add to that?
So I have also heard some antidote, some information from some of the, our local COAs where they have transportation vans that they have paid transportation drivers who are not doing as much in terms of doing rides and all right now. So what they're doing is doing grocery shopping for some seniors who are not able to get out. So again, it's really kind of a case by case or town by town or community by community based, but I do know that some councils on aging have some availability or some ability to do some grocery shopping for folks as well.
Yeah, and that's another area I think we've heard of some collaboration, and sometimes it's very hush-hush, which is, so I don't want to get anybody in trouble, which is schools, elementary schools that are feeding students that would be in school, sometimes are also feeding seniors, but they it's on a on the down low. Let's just say.
Exactly. It's not advertised as such, but what we've been told is that if a senior came in and got a meal, it's completely fine. So you're right. It's not something that a lot of places are advertising, but there are some resources within communities.
Great. Okay. Lynn, did you get any last question emailed?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for taking the time today. I hope this was useful. The recording will be posted on Leading Age website, and we will send that out to everybody as soon as it's available via the listserv. So please stay safe and take care, everybody.